The New Yorker Radio Hour is supported by the Sympathizer podcast from HBO. From executive producers Park Chan-wook and Robert Downey Jr., The Sympathizer is the new HBO original limited series based on the Pulitzer Prize-winning novel of the same name. On The Sympathizer podcast, join host Philip Nguyen in conversation with the cast, crew, and author Viet Thanh Nguyen as they discuss the making of this historic series. Stream new episodes of HBO's The Sympathizer, Sundays exclusively on Max, and listen to The Sympathizer podcast wherever you listen to podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
From One World Trade Center in Manhattan, this is the New Yorker Radio Hour, a co-production of WNYC Studios and The New Yorker.
Welcome to the New Yorker Radio Hour. I'm David Remnick.
Hi, oh my God, we're on the radio. Hi.
Hi, I'm Jenny.
Hi, Rachel.
Hi, Rachel.
Rachel Syme writes a regular column for The New Yorker on fashion, style, and consumer culture. And recently she went to pay a call on Jenny Slate, who was passing through town.
All of the snacks are complimentary, so please feel free.
Jenny Slate is an actress, comedian, author, and one of the most fashionable celebrities I know of. She thinks of clothes as performance, as a form of pleasure, as a blend between play and political statement. Like me, she's a woman who feels the tension between feminism and looking feminine. Her Netflix special and her new book, Little Weirds, both deal with that. I asked her to read a passage from her book.
Hello. I changed from the white cotton nightgown with light blue embroidery on the collarbone into a very smart outfit for living in the day. A cream-colored skirt with a grid of white and pleats all the way around. An accordion of cotton. The pleated skirt is the color of tea with lots of cream. Traditionally speaking, it is the color of tea with too much cream and sugar in it. The skirt is the tone of a slightly warm dessert drink hiding in a cup, a secret, gentle, creamy treat for me while everyone else drinks a darker, more serious, scalding thing.
Jenny is currently on tour for her book. And since clothes are so important to her, I went to her hotel to rifle through her suitcase and see how she packed.
So what kinds of thoughts were you having when you put these things in the suitcase for this tour?
That really everything should try to be as navy colored as possible because that's a color that makes me feel like I'm doing better than I probably am.
So navy is a theme of this tour.
Yeah, it's okay. Like there's not gonna be any like raspberry, you know, like it's just it's like I need
it's to
very
calm Carol
down.
Channing raspberries.
Yeah, I need to calm down a lot, so
it feels very business like to me.
It does.
Yeah,
that's like, interesting.
Like navy to me always feels like it's the color of like flight attendants because it feels
navy,
like you're going. Yeah,
I was just gonna say the navy is not a joke. It's just not a funny color. Like I remember when Betty White came to SNL and she was the host, and she would only wear aqua. And she was like, because that's the only funny color. I was just like, what?
Aqua is a really funny. Who has ever taken aqua seriously?
And this here is a white cotton blouse. Hold on. So the collar is always starched. And I button it all the way up to the top. And I like it to be tight around my neck because it makes me feel like a nice like swan or a duck or something like
that.
So
you're a top buttoner.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder what kind of person you were imagining that you would feel like on this book tour, in so much as like, does it feel academic, studious, or more like a celebratory, like coming out party for your book? Or what was the sort of, image you had in your mind that you projected as you were packing these things of yourself as an authoress?
I know who I am. I know what's going on.
Yeah.
I'm not freaked out.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I'm allowed to be here. It's a lot more mature than I sometimes, not that I feel immature in my mind, but sometimes I just feel like vulnerable like a child. And so I think it's important, like when I travel, I really, really dress like a woman who, you know, knows where her checkbook is and doesn't have like a purse full of trash.
A sweater vest is an item that I feel like is not often seen in the wild.
I'm really into vests right now. And I think that I might be having just like a big, big, big reaction to what quote unquote sexy clothes are supposed to look like. Like more and more I want to turn away from things that are, I don't know, like I just feel like they're designed for men, or for a certain man, I should say, to be fair. I actually think it's really sexy to wear a sweater vest.
It's kind of collegiate.
Yeah.
It's a little bit like secretarial.
Yeah, I just think it's sexy to be like, this is like the sweater vest itself is a beautiful object. And
yeah,
I think it's a sexy move to say, I know what beauty is and I put it on myself. And that entire conversation has happened with me and myself about how I want to look when I look at myself in the mirror. And I start from there. And you'll be lucky to be included in that. And when I dress, I am role playing in a
sure,
way.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I wanted to ask you a little bit more about that. Like, you know, clothes are definitely part of it, but I just the sense of getting up in the morning and figuring out sort of the what you're going to be.
Yeah.
It's a process of self-construction, right?
Yeah. And I don't know. I mean, first of all, right now I feel like I have this special out and my book and that I have been like talking about myself constantly for 2 weeks. And now I feel like I'm like just sort of like a douche, but, but I'm very interested in this conversation, but I'm about to say something that could be douchey, but it's that sometimes my eyes pop open. I'm so pumped to be alive again, which happens to me every morning. I love waking up. And then I just feel like the dreams are still echoing in my mind. There's like a lot ahead of me that I have forgotten about half of it, and I feel overwhelmed. And dressing myself is like a very, very important part of settling down. Like you just put on this lovely silk blouse over here, for example. It's really, really beautiful. But I put that on and it's just like a balm, but in the form of a blouse. And sometimes it's very hard for me to deal with who I am while I'm picking out the clothes. Because sometimes I'm a person that deeply needs to please other people.
And so you're cognizant of the idea that you'll be seen.
Yeah. And so it's like, okay, am I going to pick something that I'm choosing and maybe no one would ever know, but because I'm begging for acceptance? Or am I picking something because it just makes me feel comforted and in control? And I try to go for the second one all the time because it is, I think, a fool's errand to try to anticipate what other people are going to like about
although how you that look. Lesson is like fairly hard one.
Oh yeah, I mean, I hardly ever learn it. That's why, you know, every day. But I'm learning it again. But I will say that there is something about talking about fashion and the way that you want to do it, and that I want to do it with you, that it's really a question of how are we sustaining ourselves? How can we be here? And how can we remind ourselves that the details are the things that create a better experience out of something that could have just been neutral or something that could have felt heavy as a default?
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting to me because I feel like the way that writing about or reading about or thinking deeply about fashion has been sort of sidelined into this it's not for me category is so funny to me because it's one of getting dressed is one of the only universals in our culture. It's like when people are like, I don't care about fashion. I'm like, well, you cared about fashion this morning when you didn't leave your house naked.
Yeah.
It's so funny to me when it gets sort of like put in this box that people don't want to touch.
Have you ever read anything that Virginia Woolf wrote about like frock consciousness?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, you know, like there was a moment when basically like dresses became buttoned down the front and the garments changed and you didn't need someone else to help you get dressed. And it didn't signify whether or not you were rich or poor. You know, like the bustle is gone now. And so there's this idea of the power that you have when you get your own self dressed.
You know, certain women always dress themselves who are like the ladies in waiting, but the
right
you know, there was a sense of you would have a dresser if you wanted to wear anything like personal finery wise.
Mm, right.
And there was a shift into buying your own personal finery and being in your own personal finery. And Virginia Woolf, like, notoriously did a lot of writing in her head when she would go two neighborhoods over to the market to buy stockings for herself. It was her favorite errand.
Mm.
So she would often, she was like very invested in making trips to find things that she wanted, you know?
Yeah.
It was a pilgrimage for her.
Yeah, I'm in charge of my own finery.
Yeah.
Thank you, guys.
Oh, thank you.
The New Yorker's Rachel Syme speaking with Jenny Slate. Slate's comedy special Stage Fright is on Netflix, and her new book is called Little Weirds. I'm David Remnick, and that's our show for this week. Have a terrific Thanksgiving, and please join us next time.
The New Yorker Radio Hour is a co-production of WNYC Studios and The New Yorker. Our theme music was composed and performed by Merrill Garbus of Tune Yards, with additional music by Alexis Quadrado. This episode was produced by Alex Barron, Emily Botine, Ave Carrillo, Rhiannon Corby, Karen Frohman, Kala Leah, David Krasnow, Caroline Lester, Louis Mitchell, Michelle Moses, and Stephen Valentino, with help from Morgan Flannery, Allison McAdam, Mengfei Chen, and Emily Mann. The New Yorker Radio Hour is supported in part by the Chirina Endowment Fund.